I usually speak for the Olam, but sometimes I speak just for myself. And probably this is one of the occasions where I'll be speaking for myself, but maybe you can listen in. Maybe some of you will be able to follow me. There's a puzzling thing about Megillas Esther. The 10 sons of Haman are written on a daf with spaces in a way that a shira would be written. Not shiras hayom, but shiras hazinu. What's puzzling about it is that it was never sung. Shiras hayom was sung, Oz Yosher Moshe. It's written that way forever in the Torah as a song, because it became a song from singing. Hazinu was sung. It was sung in the Beis HaMikdash in a 6-week cycle. The Levim sang Hazinu. But I never heard of anybody who's singing the names of Vayezosa and this one and that one. Anybody running around thinking, Vayezosa, bum, 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 bum. There's no such shira. And yet it's written like a shira. So I found it puzzling that why is it a shira? What is the shira of this shira? What is it about? A shira that's not sung, but then why is it a shira? And the Gemara in Brachos doesn't talk about this directly at all, but what it talks about is concerns this in a certain way. Let me find it where it is. Here it is. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan, the halach is like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav and against Shmuel and against Rav and Shmuel together. And Rabbi Yochanan is the father of the Talmud Yerushalmi. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Om Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I guess that name everybody knows, even more than Rabbi Yochanan. Meilech Siv Pio Poscha B'chochma Soros Chesed Al Hashayna. Negin mi omer shem mikrazeh. A posik in Eishes Chayil. He describes Eishes Chayil as piyo poscha b'chochma, so is chesed al hashoina. That is both chochma, this intelligence, and is also chesed. Intelligence and chesed coming together. From where did Shlomo HaMelech take this idea, Kneged me, Omer Shamar Melech? From where do you get this? Where do you see this? A special, unique quality of Chochmah and Chesed together. Chochmah necessarily doesn't go with Chesed, per se. A lot of times there's an urge for Chesed, and the Chochmah tells you not to do it. A lot of times the Chacham says, don't do something, and the urge for Chesed tells you to do something. They're not necessarily compatible. But this compatibility, Chochmah and Chesed, going together. Kenega mi omer Shlomo, from where does Shlomo say it? Concerning whom did he say it? From where did he see it? Zechar Shim Barachai Mikros Ele Omroi El Kenega David Oviv. This Mikros was only said. The only person who combined this, that he saw this, and then he put it then into Shiras, into the Eishes Chayil, this Gvaldik quality, this was David, his father. Shedor b'chamish olamim, he lived in 5 worlds. B'om Shira. He lived in 5 worlds, and he said Shira, 5 different Shiras, he said, Baruch Yinafshis. He lived in 5 worlds. So the first... So the question we can ask over here is, why didn't it simply say Sh'oma Shira? Why did it say Shador B'chamisha Olamim? And he said Shira. He lived in 5 worlds and said Shira, about the 5 worlds. Why didn't it just say he said Shira? So, of course, there's all kinds of, Shira has all kinds of things that's Ma'ar Shira. Sometimes the person is Ma'ar Shira himself by delving into it. In those cases, the Gemara tells us that Mizmor LeDavid, for instance, is first he said the Mizmor, and then it came the Ruach HaKodesh upon him, and he said, and became David. And sometimes he was seized by the Ruach HaKodesh, and it says LeDavid Mizmor. He became LeDavid first before Mizmor. You'll notice, according to this, that LeDavid refers to the Ruach HaKodesh David. Then he's David, then he's complete, because he has Ruach HaKodesh. The Moshe, a bocher sitting and learning in yeshiva, he's a different bocher than when he's not learning. He's drain zuch in the gas. So that's when he is who he is. That's when he's Avremi. That's when he's Yitzchok. That's when he's Yaakov. He's when he learns. That's when he's Dover and his Ruach HaKodesh. So why does it say he lived in five worlds? What's the relevance of five worlds? He lived in five worlds. Such a modern Russian. He lived in five worlds. However, we say something that really every day we say in the Halalukas. How is Hashem in Hashemayim? Praise Him from heaven. Halu b'mrayim up high, in the heights. Halu kol malochav, all the malochim, halu kol tzvav, all the planets, and all the stars. Halu shem shereach, and the sun and the moon, which is closer to us. Halu kol kochvei or, all stars that give light. And in the late 1930s, they discovered that there were stars that don't give light. They're called quasars. But David HaMelech said so 3,000 years ago. The stars that give light, they're stars that don't give light. The heavens and the heaven of heavens, and above that is water someplace. They praise Him because He commanded and they were created. Because what are they there for? Who needs them? Because the Mesaprim created Hashem. Because when you look up at the night sky, you see the Kvod Hashem. Light years across, beaming down upon us. So they created because they were created. That's why they praise Him. V'amidim lad leilom, He stood them, He stelled them avek. Forever. He made a rule that can never be transgressed. They move in cycles. They move in things that are just absolutely perfect to the clock. The clocks are set by that. And then how is Hashem in Ha'aretz? So having said that the Shemaim praises Him, now we say, how is Hashem in Ha'aretz? Now earth, where people live, the most important place. How is Hashem? You see monsters in the depths of the ocean. Eshuvarad, fire and hail, shelavikitar, rain and ice and frost. Ruach sa'ara, storm winds, oisidavara, doing what he says. Ehorvachog, voice, mountains and high places. Eitz privachol arazim, fruit trees and all the cedar trees. Chayvachol behema, all animals. Remes v'tzibar konaf, all crawling things and all things that fly. Malchir z'chulumim, all them kings. And all the officers of the nations. Sarvachol shoftei oras. Bachurim gamasulis, all boys and girls. King Norim, old people and young people. Yahal Hashem Hashem, kines govashem olam adoy. They praise Hashem. Because by them, on the earth, Nizgav Shmoy Levadoi, because His name is upraised above. And Shemayim praises Him because they were created. Earth creates Him because they recognize Him. Hoydal is Shemayim. His beauty is on the earth and on the heaven. When you see in this beautiful, beautiful, you see the whole world is singing. You see that David HaMelech sings, but he sees the world singing with him. And sometimes, the person sings and then the world sings with him. And sometimes the world sings and then he sings with the world. He's seized by the world. David HaMelech lived in Chamesh Olamim. He lived in five worlds. And he said Shira, meaning that the world that he lived in made him sing. The world was so, made him sing. So what did it make him sing? And Rashi says over here that he said Shira when it was Nochal Ruach HaKodesh, because it doesn't mean at that moment that he was there it sang, but that later on when he was David HaMelech, then he sang about and he thought about these worlds that he had been in, then each one of the worlds evoked a Shira. So what was the Shira? It says the first world that he lived in was he lived inside his mother, a fetus. He lived inside his mother, v'omashira, and he sang about it. What does it mean to be inside a mother? The walls around you is a little world, but it's the whole world around you. You don't know any other world. The walls of warmth that surround you, and the walls of love that surround you from every side. What a cuddly place to be in. What a wonderful place to be in. Soft, warm, taken care of. No food necessary to eat, no oxygen necessary to breathe, no reason to yell, no diapers to change, no diaper rash, just perfect. Or my Shira, and he said Shira about it.
Shemar.
Baruch inav shiyin. Es Hashem v'chol krovai Hashem kodshoi. He also rabbi ha'olam, and then he emerged into the space of the world. He emerges the space of the world. And he looked up at the Kerchovim and at the Mazolos and he said, Shira. Can you imagine? He came out in the world, the first thing you think is in the delivery room. If he came out of the room, they took him in his little carriage, they took him after that. He saw the houses, he saw the streets, he saw Beach 9th Street, he saw the houses. That's not what he saw. He came out and he saw the big world. He didn't see the houses. He didn't see the people. He didn't see the tumult. He saw the Kerchovim Mazolos. He saw it to the ends. Look how gigantic this place is. Beyond the earth itself, there are Kerchovim that are light years away from here. Mazolos. He came out of the world, the first thing he saw a world, a gigantic world from the little world inside his mother that was a whole world to him. He came out and he was overwhelmed with the size of the world. Gigantic proportions of it. It's so big. It's so gorgeous. Kachom Mazolos. And he said, Shira. And then it says, he nursed from his mother. And he said, Shira, he nursed from his mother, he said, Shira. This little child, alone in such a big world, but what was his world in that little world? What was his world within the big world? That world was, he was a tinoik, unique, just sucking. You know, there's nothing the baby can do. He can't even put his thumb in his mouth. There's only one thing he does. He can't even put his thumb in his mouth. The one thing he does is that he sucks. He sucks, a suction machine. And if the mother's not there, and he happens to get a corner of the pillow, he'll suck it. And if he gets something else to suck on, happens to be in his mouth, he'll suck it. So what do you see over here? This deep urge for himself to suck, and his mother gives him what to suck. Milk, nurturing, warmth, holding in her arms. And even more than that, the Gemara goes on and says that she gives him bina. She has in herself bina and gives him bina. I'm always astonished that the first lesson a child has to learn around the age of 6 months. You can't teach a child anything at 6 months, but he starts to have teeth. The front teeth come in around 6 months. The front teeth. And you know what happens when a baby's having his teeth? His gums kill him. And he wants to bite something. He wants to, we give him pacifiers, we give him teething rings and stuff to bite down on. Because you have an urge to bite. You know when you've had a loose tooth yourself, you remember you want to bite down on it. And here he's nursing from a mother, and if he bites her, it'll be terrible. So she has to teach him at the age of 6 months, your urge to bite has to stop. It has to be controlled. From the very beginning, she's machanech him. Self-control. Don't bite. I know you want to bite. Don't bite. Don't scream. Don't rob. Don't steal. Don't murder. It's the beginning of all chinuch. Don't bite. Don't hit. So he sees this world, the world of his education. And he says a shir about it. It's not just an education. It's not just a mother with a baby. It's a world. His whole world is concerned with it. The world before he came out was observation of the world. He observed the world. He said, "Kachav mazolos." But then the second step is growing into the world. And he grows into a chinuch, a mother, warm, loving, caring, baby, baby, singing lullabies to him, teaching him the world of chinuch, a world of beauty, warmth, and chinuch. And then it says, and then he grew up and he saw the downfall of the evil. Here it doesn't say the word dor, but we've been told before that dor ba'olam. Here it skips the word dor, that he lived. But we already know that he's talking about different worlds. So he saw Mapalos and Shorishoyim. Omar Shira, and he said a Shira. It doesn't say, by the way, that he caused the Mapalos and Shorishoyim, that he killed them, which are Vadi Yimachiv to hate Rishoyim. And not all Rishoyim Yimachiv to kill. Some Yimachiv to kill, some Yimachiv to kill, Yimachiv to hate them, to be Machiach them, to not tolerate them. But that's not what it says over here. It says, Rabba Mapalos and Shorishoyim, how does that come into a world? Till now we saw him in different worlds, inside his mother, in the big world outside, the world of little chinuch that he lives in as he's growing up. All of a sudden, Rabba Mapalos and Shorishoyim, but that's also a world. But Rabbi Isai, Rishayim filled the world. They contaminate the world. And they fill the world with their noise, with their hatred, with their evil. They fill the whole world. And each one of them yells, I'm the world. Adolf Hitler, Machshmoy. You know what he told these people? Beside all the bad things he told them. You know what he told them? We're building the 1,000-year Reich. We're building a government that's going to last 1,000 years. From 1933 to 1945 is not 1,000 years. The 1,000-year Reich. And he seized the imagination of 60 million Germans and their sympathizers, many, many millions more. 1,000-year Reich. 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Evil fills the world. It screams about its success and its future. And it's scary because it's stuck there. And it does terrible things, evil. What do you think? It was just a foregone conclusion that Haman is going to fall on his face? What do you think? Is that ever pushed like that? Mordechai saw the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, who were slaughtered at the time. He saw that. And you know, today, you can kill people with a gun, with a machine gun. You don't have to touch them. But in those days, they didn't kill hundreds of thousands of people with a gun. They stuck something in them and made them bleed. They cut open their guts. Much more cruel. And he saw all that happen, all that evil. He saw that destruction. And he said to Esther, "Imacharish tacharishi, if you'll be silent now, there's going to be a shur from somewhere else. And you're going to lose out on it. But the Klal Yisrael is going to be saved." And I once talked on another occasion what made him so sure Klal Yisrael is going to be saved. Didn't he see the Churban Beis HaMikdash? What do you mean Klal Yisrael is going to be saved? I said, Vada Yisrael. As a separate, we're not going to talk about that now. But I want to talk about evil filling the world. And it says over here that Rabba Mapulosin Shal Rishoyim, he saw the downfall of Rishoyim. Did he see the downfall of all evil? And all evil's gone since David HaMelech's time after that Mapola? Nonsense. Did all evil cease during his lifetime? What did he see? What did he see? He see the world filled with evil, the noise, the evil, the screaming, the hatred filling the world. Well, you guys didn't live during World War II, so you don't understand what I'm talking about practically. Well, but you're living now in a time, let's say, where anti-Semitism is rising. Unfortunately, again, Vashgocha. So maybe you can see that the world is filling up again, like a bathtub with water running into it, filling up. The world's starting to fill up. In India, they put a bomb in the Israeli embassy, and in out west here, they just drew a swastika on a shul. And it's going around, starting to fill up, and they're not connected. But the evil fills the world in a sort of, you know, communicates to the rest of the world, and the people pick up, those who have the evil receivers, like the radio receivers, they pick up on it. And they have their fun. Who do you think killed the Jews in Lita? Think the Germans killed them? The Litvisha killed them. The Litvisha Goyim killed them. Who were their good friends, by the way. Before the Germans got there. Evil brings out evil. Evil fills the world. Look. There's such a thing called a mob. I've been in crowds that are easy to ignite in their anger. I once had such an experience myself. A bunch of people that are very placid, quiet, and then somebody says, "Get them!" And the whole crowd, not without any organization, the whole crowd gets up and gets them. Grab them! Kill them! Kill them! And the crowd suddenly kills him, jumps on him, stamps on him. But you can't do that with a crowd of people that has to have mincha. If you say mincha, nobody's going to jump up. It's only for evil. Evil fills the world. It's so powerful, evil. It doesn't require education, chinuch, midas tovus. It's there. And there's a nifle de gazach that he saw, Dovra Melech. He saw mapalosin shal rishayim. Not all rishayim. Not all rishayim in his time. Just that we're ashamed that he saw it in Mapola. He saw that the world has hope. There is hope. The whole world smells with evil. Evil travels through the world with some sort of transmitter and some sort of receiver. But there's Mapalos and Shavashayim. I saw this Russia get it. How did that happen? I thought that evil was invincible. Was the winner. That gives so much hope. The downfall of evil gives so much hope. It fills a David HaMelech with so much simcha. There really is hope that he sings a shira. Then my father who said the last one was in Stakobi and Mamisa. Well, my shira. That after he saw this world that he lived through, when he looked at the idea of death, he could say a shira also. Look how things can be good. Death can also be good. So I would like to suggest that the simcha of Purim is a vada simcha of our Yeshua, of our enemy getting it, of his being strangled on his own gallows. But there's a difference here that's even more important than just that one day or the 2 days of Purim and the tumult and all the other things that go with it, and wonderful things that go with it. But there's something else here. And Haman was told by his people who cared for him. Make a tree that's 50 amas high. How tall is 50 amas? It's almost 100 feet. It's 10 stories high. How many stories were the houses and the buildings in Shushan? Were they 10-story houses? They weren't even three stories. Maybe there were two at the most. Probably one. So what do you need a gallows 10 stories high? I was in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, in a place where they executed the Nebuch, the Jewish boys who fought the British. And I stood there a long time looking at the gallows where they hung them from. How high was the gallows? Well, I'd say maybe 10 feet total. Maybe 12 feet at most. Not even that. You don't need such a 50, 100 foot gallows. But if you want to triumph in the world, you want to crow, you want to spread the good news of evil in the world, put it up high. Let them see him strangling up there, 10 stories high. Because you know, a gallows is 10 stories high. The person strangles, but that's a shmuz by itself. It has to be 100 feet. Let the whole world see it. They can see it less than 100 feet, but it's a triumph, the triumph of evil. There's a triumph of evil of 50 feet. Evil has won. We have won. We're the winners. And on this, Chazal wrote the Megillah with his 10 sons, B'derech Shira. Did he get rid of everybody that was evil in the world at that time? I think I was their enemies. Is all evil gone from the world? No. Will there be more evil in the world afterwards? Yep. Does evil communicate through the world? Yep. But there is mahapola by evil. There is hope. There is hope. Because if it was invincible, there wouldn't be mahapola. And if there's mahapola, it tells us, have emuna, have betachon. Because a day will yet come when there'll be full nekoma and full simcha. Uchin sadikim yiru v'yismachu v'yishor me'alozu. It'll come those wonderful days. Uchin sadikim yiru v'yismachu v'yishorim. Yishoyim ya'loizu v'yoyim ha'so'u tikpots b'yom cholorisho kuro go'oshon tichle. And all the evil will just blow away like smoke. And that is such a wonderful message. Beyond the enemies, he gives us chizuk for a year and for a lifetime. That what we're doing is we're keeping the world going until that wonderful time. Don't be miyayish, because there's a song in the Megillah that we never sang. The song is that evil perishes. Afreel Gempoorn.